I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into another episode of The Memo on this Wednesday, February 24th, 2016. Brad Locke here with you, joined today by Lauren Wood. Hello, Lauren.
That's me. What's up?
Sitting in Derek Russell's chair.
That's right.
Derek's
Sorry,
not
Derek.
Here.
It's me today.
He's got another engagement or something, mm-hmm. So Lauren filling in once again, as she has many times before.
Hi, everyone.
You know, I mentioned last time on the show that my back's hurting from carrying this thing. I'm just kidding. Lauren.
I need to give a shout out to my grandparents because they listened to the last one.
They did.
Love you, Grandpa and Nana.
They listened to the last one you were on?
I think so.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All the way up in Michigan.
Florida.
Oh, yeah. That's right. They're in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Your parents are in Michigan.
Yeah. The rest of my family's in Michigan. Yeah.
Okay. So. But your grandparents are from Michigan.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Snowbirds.
That was like their email at one point. So.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, hello to Lauren's grandparents.
Yay.
Yeah. No, I'm not carrying the show. Lauren pulling
I'm just
her
here
weight.
To help out. Today.
She's helping out fantastically. Is that a word, fantastically?
It is now.
I'll let it go.
If a journalist says
I won't edit it out.
Okay. If a journalist says it, it's a word.
At least you're not spelling it out, so.
No, I don't. I think I know how to spell that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So how's it been? How about this weather?
Oh,
weather's terrible. I hate the weather.
I feel like such a southerner now because I'm like, why isn't it sunny? And it's February.
As you sit there with your Michigan girl mug.
Yep. Thanks, Mom. Shout out to all of my family members.
I was getting coffee this morning and like the wind and it's just brutal out there.
Well, I walked out of the house with the exact jacket I was wearing yesterday. It was a light rain jacket, and I walked right back in and was like, I need my winter jacket.
That ain't
it's
working.
Cold. Yep.
This is one of those,
and by cold, it's like 40 degrees.
This is one of those days that
the wind made it worse.
This is true. Yeah. But I'm like thinking of family in Michigan or family and friends in Michigan. And it's like, they're like, it's like 9 degrees.
Yeah. My in-laws are getting like 5 or 6 inches of snow in St. Louis right now. This is one of those days where like a couple weeks ago, I tried to let the dog out so he could go do his business, but it was raining. It had been raining, and he just took one look and literally turned around, went back into the
garage. Justin's dog does that.
He's only who did that today, probably, too. It's that kind of day.
It's just like, nope, not today.
Sorry, I'll hold it. I'll hold it, Dad.
Oh, it's 30 degrees.
There you go.
As we talk right now, it's 30. Oh, in Michigan.
Snowing.
Snowing in Michigan this morning.
Yeah, but that's a dry cold, right?
Yes, this is true.
It's a dry cold, yeah. Oh, goodness. So anyway, Lauren and I will be with y'all on this Wednesday on The Memo. Thanks for tuning in. By the way, follow us on Twitter at DJournalMemo. And of course, I don't know how you're listening to us, but there's different options, iTunes, podcast app, or at memo.djournal.com. Tell your friends about us, why don't you? We got a good show today. We got Jenna Parsons to talk about food. Mm-hmm. We got William Moore on here to talk about, what are you talking about, Chris? I forget.
Police Academy.
Oh, yeah. I'm doing that interview. Maybe I should do some research.
Yeah.
No, actually, I did read that story today.
I took the photos.
So. It's a good story. Yeah, good photos, too.
Hopefully he mentions the project we're doing, too.
The project.
You'll find out about it. Ask him about it.
The project you and...
William are doing?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Ask him about it.
I'll ask him about it. I'll do that. So we've got Jenna, we've got William, we've got... who else we got, Chris?
Bobby Harris.
You know, I did look at the script. I think I was sleepy last night when I looked at it. Yeah, Bobby Harrison, because Jackson, down in Jackson, of course, Tuesday was the deadline to get bills out of committee, so a lot of bills died. One bill in particular, was a lot of people were surprised that it died.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot to talk about with Bobby about what's going on with the legislature down there. So, we got a full show today, and let's get to it. All right, let's go down to Jackson, and we're joined by Bobby Harrison, our Capitol Bureau Chief. Bobby, how's it going down there?
All right, Brad, how you doing?
Well, you survived Tuesday, so that's good. That was the day that bills had to get out of committee or they died. And,
that's right.
So quite a few died. One of them, unexpectedly a premature death, this voucher bill. That was very controversial. Never made it out of committee. In fact, I heard Frierson, a Republican from Poplarville, the House Appropriations Chairman, opted not to even consider it. Canceled the meeting early, I guess, yesterday. How surprising was that when that news came down, Bobby?
That was very surprising. You know, Brad, the bill was what they call double referral. another speaker, it was referred to education and appropriations, which is pretty common with a bill, a big bill like that, that deals with a lot of, you know, is dealing with up to potentially $30 million in state money this year. And it passed education last week, and Chairman Frierson was one of the, he was one of the authors, co-sponsors of the bill. So everybody just assumed it was going to go onto the floor. But late yesterday afternoon, I think 4 o'clock, he had a meeting scheduled to take up that bill. And he, sometime before 4 o'clock, he put a sign on the appropriations room door saying, saying the meeting had been canceled. And with the cancellation of the meeting, the bill died because it had to get out of both education and appropriations. And he, you know, he said that I've actually talked to him this morning. No one could catch him yesterday afternoon. He said it was pretty simple. There just wasn't enough votes to pass it. So he didn't see any reason to deal with it.
Yeah, was that, surprise you that they might not have enough votes? I mean, I guess when it comes to education, though, you do have, that can be not necessarily a strictly partisan issue because public education is such a big deal in this state.
That's right. The probably just about all of the Democrats would have been, the bill just would require some majority to pass on the House floor and then it would have gone on to the Senate. But just about all the Democrats would have been opposed to it. And apparently a substantial number of Republicans were voicing their opposition to the leadership to the bill. And so Chairman Frierson decided instead of having a fight that was going to be a losing fight just to kill the bill. Now, there's other school choice bills alive, including, you know, the bill that would allow charter schools to students to cross district lines to go to charter schools, and also a bill that would allow, it's going to be a controversial bill that would allow students to cross district lines to go from a bad public school to a better public school. And both those bills are going to probably create some controversy, and not as much as the voucher bill, but they will be controversial.
You quoted Steve Holland, the Democrat from Plantersville, the very colorful Steve Holland. Leave it to him to compare this. If this had gone onto the floor, would have compared it to a hog and chicken legislation fight from a few years.
back in the day. Those are some when the people who grow the hogs and the chickens are trying to get more concessions from the producers, the chicken producers and whatnot. That created quite some ill feelings, and even on the Senate floor one day led to some brief fisticuffs.
That's what we need more of in state government, if you ask me, Bobby. Some good old throwdowns, some bare knuckle brawls.
I left sports, Brad, so I'm not prepared to cover that anymore.
Well, let's look at another issue here that looks like it's not going to go any further anyway for now. The state flag issue. There are several bills dealing with the state flag, trying to get moved through, but none of them made it out of committee. I don't know. So I guess that's pretty much kills the issue for this session, doesn't it, Bobby?
That's right. You know, there's that does kill it for this session. I mean, I think it'd be hard to find some be able to get a 2/3 vote to suspend the rules in both chambers to take up a bill at this point in time, something that 2/3 of the members would agree to. Now, there are some efforts to put initiatives on the election ballot change the flag, and then also there are people working on an initiative. They're a little farther behind. They're running into some roadblocks, but an initiative to keep the current flag. And so those the earliest they could be on the election ballot, though, at this point in time would be November 2017 at the earliest, because they'd have to go back to the legislature before they appeared on the ballot. Nothing's going to happen this year. And, some people, you know, Speaker Philip Gunn made headlines this summer when he came out for changing the flag. He's one of a few Republicans to have taken that stance, and he's a pretty important Republican, of course. But, and he said he worked this session to try to get a consensus. But then he also said that part of that consensus, he thought there should be an election, a statewide election on changing the flag. Other people believe that the only way the flag is going to be changed is just through the legislative process, that if it goes to a referendum, the same thing that would happen in 2000, happened in 2001 when the electorate overwhelmingly opted to keep the current flag.
Well, Bobby, any other bills? I know we talked about the charter school bill, but any other bills that did make it through out of committee that you're particularly interested in keeping an eye on in coming weeks?
Well, I mean, there's several big bills, including, you know, the election bills. I hadn't given them the attention to try to deserve, but, you know, there's efforts to have early voting in Mississippi for all citizens and also online voter registration. Secretary of State's behind that push, and those bills are still alive in various forms. And some stuff kind of a little unusual, and some, you know, like the guns in churches, or, you know, of course, that's alive. And the bill dealing with not allowing people clerks and stuff not to participate in the issue. Marriage license to gay couples, those bills are alive. There's probably around 1,000 bills still alive at this point. And in the next week, between now and next Thursday, both chambers are going to be in session all day taking up those bills. And next Thursday is the next deadline to have those bills cleared from the House and Senate floors.
All right, good info there, Bobby. Y'all follow Bobby on Twitter, by the way, at BobbyHarrison9. Follow his work in the Daily Journal and at DJournal.com. Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you. Y'all have a good day.
You too. Hey, I need to remind y'all to watch the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast each Monday afternoon at DJournal.com. Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated by Mississippi lawmakers. You can watch live each Monday afternoon around 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. New episodes will be released as long as the legislature is in session. I need to remind y'all about a couple of our sports podcasts that we have. Prep Rally, our high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps, that will drop this afternoon. You can check it out on iTunes, on your podcast app if you don't have an iPhone, or at preprally.djournal.com. High school basketball playoffs have started this week, so we've got plenty to talk about on that front. And then on Thursday, a new episode of Double Coverage, Ole Miss and MSU Sports Talk with Paris Alford and Logan Lowry. Again, that's on Thursday. Sometime in the afternoon, it'll drop, and you can listen to that on iTunes as well, your podcast app, or doublecoverage.djournal.com. And Parrish is actually in Indianapolis this week for the NFL Scouting Combine. Got several Ole Miss and Mississippi State players up there that are likely to get drafted. In fact, three Ole Miss players, Laquan Treadwell, Laramie Tunzel, and Robert Kimdichie, could all go in the first round, and certainly guys like Dak Prescott for MSU could go fairly high, especially if they have a good showing at the combine. So Parrish will have that to talk about for sure, as well as basketball, the Rebels winning last night, and the Bulldogs playing tonight. So check those out, Prep Rally and Double Coverage. Let's welcome in William Moore to the program now. William, our crime reporter, how's it going?
It's going well.
Hey, you had a pretty cool story in there today. I think it was our centerpiece in the journal. The police officer boot camp, basically.
Right.
The North Mississippi Law Enforcement Training Center putting more than a dozen men and two women through a 12-week course to become police officers.
Yeah, basically, I mean, it's just old-fashioned what folks just normally call the police academy.
Yeah.
They do it twice a year. And it's a 12-week boot camp style. I mean, they get there on Sunday nights, live in dormitories all week long, get up at 5:30 every morning, exercise, eat breakfast, classroom activities all day. You know, then after about the first 3 weeks are mostly classroom. They're having to learn stuff and do all the the not fun stuff. And then they get to move into more exciting activities, you know. Firearms.
Yeah, and
defensive driving.
How to control a suspect, restrain and control a suspect. That sounds fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of things they have to do that are kind of fun, but it's all done for a reason. I mean,
exactly.
The defensive tactics would be how to, you know, properly restrain somebody so that both the suspect and the officer don't get hurt.
Right. I mean, 12 weeks, it seems like a long time, but there's a lot of stuff they got to pack into that.
There's a lot of stuff gets packed in, but, I mean, like I said, you know, they're there every day. Right. You know, they get to go home on the weekends, but, I mean, they report back on Sunday afternoon, you know, and then it starts back at 5:30 Monday morning.
They've got people from all over North Mississippi coming to this academy. I mean, what kind of what kind of trainees do they typically get? What kind of people come into this? I mean, obviously, everybody wants it's people that want to be police officers, but just varying backgrounds. I figure you got some military guys in there.
There's a lot of varying backgrounds, variants in ages, too. But you'll have some folks that are like fresh out of college who want to, you know, make this a, you know, their life's path. And then there's other folks that are like, decide, all right, well, this is going to be a second career. You know, might be 40 or older and decide, all right, well, it's time to make a change. We're going to go through this course.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, like I said, I mean, basically there's four police academies in the state. So basically we're getting most of the one from the north end, north end of the state.
And I think your story notes it's the smallest one in the state, but that allows for more one-on-one, doesn't it?
You get a lot more one-on-one, and because of that, they can do more, you know, during the week. And sometimes, you know, instead of having to work all the way on Friday, they can actually take Fridays off sometimes.
Okay. You talked to Lieutenant Brian Brown, director of the academy, and he said, you know, normally you're going to lose one or two cadets. How far into it are they right now?
I mean, they literally reported Sunday night.
Okay.
So this is the first week, and they intentionally make it stressful.
So then,
I think the way he described it at the very beginning, because they're trying to make sure that the folks actually want to be there, and it's not just I thought I wanted to be a police officer.
Yeah.
They try to make it as stressful and realistic as possible.
Right.
So that folks will go ahead and decide early, all right, do I really want to stick this out for the next 12 weeks, or am I ready to just cut my losses and go home?
Yeah, so if they're going to lose anybody, it'll probably be this week or next.
That's what he would say. Most of the time, if they lose somebody, it's going to be early.
Yeah. Okay. That's a pretty cool story. Graduation is set for May 13th for this particular class of cadets. Something else before you get out of here I wanted to ask you, William. Lauren said that we need to ask you about a project you and her are working on, but she wouldn't give us any details. So
yeah, it's more Lauren working on this year's class. That they have two females, right. And Lauren is going to follow them throughout the whole 12-week process.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, you know, she wants to, you know, do interviews with them along the way, go out, shoot pictures, shoot videos, them going through, you know, some of the stuff, the physical fitness training, the firearms, that kind of stuff. And then at the end of the class, or the end of the 12-week period, she's going to put together a video.
Cool.
You know, and we'll have some sort of story at the end saying, all right, well, everybody graduated. And she'll have her video focusing on the two women and how, you know, being minorities going, you know, basically because you got 13 guys and two women. So, I mean, they're
right.
Everything they're going to be on the minority side of.
Sounds like it'd be kind of a good reality show, which it kind of, I don't know if that's the vibe it's going to have, but I know Lauren has done some excellent video work for the Journal. I'm sure this will be fantastic. And that's a lot of pressure, though. You talk about people dropping out. These two ladies now, I mean, Lauren's doing this basically a mini documentary on them. They got to stick with it now.
She put them in the hot seat.
That's right. Well, good. I'm looking forward to that. That'll be good, William. All right, man. Appreciate your time on this. Y'all can check out his story again in today's journal or at djournal.com. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
Need to remind y'all about Thrive Marketing, a full-service digital marketing company located in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses online at thrive.ms. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. The city of Tupelo may soon hire a code enforcement officer dedicated to inspections of rental property. City council members on Tuesday gave preliminary support to the proposal to amend this year's budget to hire the new officer. A Tupelo city ordinance requires rental properties be inspected once every 2 years. The volume of rental properties in the city means there are more inspections that must be performed than the current staffing levels can absorb.
The Boys and Girls Clubs of North Mississippi recognized volunteers during the annual Champions for Youth breakfast on Tuesday. Officials made special note of two groups of Tupelo High School students who focused their senior projects on the after-school organization. Amy Hadsma, Lee Holman, Garrett McGee, and Sabrina Walker spent several weeks teaching the members about broadcasting and videography techniques. Jeremy Hines, Lillian Salem, and Jordan Tarter organized an anti-bullying presentation.
Saltillo will become the 52nd Mississippi Main Street community during a ceremony next month. The Mississippi Main Street Association will host the designation ceremony at 10 a.m. on March 8th in the community room at City Hall. There will be a public reception immediately following the designation. Lindsay Hines will be Saltillo's Main Street director.
The Tupelo City Council has selected a contractor for the first phase of redevelopment efforts on West Jackson Street. Eubank Construction won the bid for infrastructure work, including building a cul-de-sac. The redevelopment efforts target a stretch of West Jackson Street between the intersections of Joyner and Clayton Avenues. The plan is for 13 new homes to eventually be built there.
An Orrin Dunn City Museum workshop is designed to help African Americans research their ancestors. Joyce Dixon Lawson will conduct the program on Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. at the museum. Dixon Lawson is outreach coordinator with the Mississippi Department of Archives and History. The event is geared to African Americans, but it is open to anyone who helps others with genealogical searches. The workshop is free, but donations are appreciated. Speaking of genealogy, Lauren,
mm-hmm.
I hear you have an obsession of sorts.
Yeah, it's been a very big time-consuming endeavor that I've been... I don't know what they're using to search for, but I recently have been doing Ancestry.com. This is not a plug for them, but that's just
they seem
I've
to be
using.
The go-to place.
And for 2 weeks, it's free. So I dug and found a whole bunch of family that, like, you know, where they came from and all these records, and it was really interesting. And I'm like, now I know why people wait till they're retired to do this, because it's addicting and you just want to keep like searching and searching and searching.
So, what got you into it?
I'm going to London.
That's your shirt today?
Yes.
It says London on it.
Thanks,
for people who can't
see. Mom. Got that for me for Christmas. But we're going to London, and my grandmother was born in England, and I was like, maybe I can find... I know where she, like, grew up, but maybe I could find, like, the church my grandparents got married at, or just something, maybe go visit and see. And it made me kind of get interested in a little bit to kind of like, all right, what about the rest of my family and where are they from? And my mom doesn't know a lot about, like, her dad, my grandfather's side, and kind of seeing what I could find. And it's been really interesting. So I think this workshop would be a really interesting experience to kind of go see and dig, and even like helping other people find, and because there's different ways to trace back. And like, once you find some family's name, you go back and then it helps open the doors to find like the generation before that. And it kind of keeps digging. So yeah. It keeps going on now.
Yeah. I have a cousin who's really done a good job of digging into our family history, mm-hmm. On my dad's side, at least. Going back to, I think we've gotten back to the late 1700s, but you talk about Ancestry.com, wow. You can get into you can access all these like documents,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
stuff.
I found like my great-grandparents' wedding license, like marriage license, and like my other great-grandfather's like World War I and II draft registration cards with like their signatures on it and stuff. It's really neat.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and censuses, you know, because the census started, I forget the exact year. They have like 1900 census.
Yeah.
When it's like handwritten in your family members who are living in the household and everything, like, it's really neat.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
He took the time to scan all that in.
And that's what's amazing too. And what the crazy thing is, it's like all digitized. So it's not only scanned, but it like searches the documents.
Wow.
Even though it's handwritten. So like my mother's maiden name is Hankins, but because of the script, it read it as Hawkins. Huh. But it displayed it as an option. So I could go in and look and make sure the family members' names were right and matched.
Huh.
But I was like, no, this is actually Hankins instead of Hawkins.
Yeah.
So
wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I know, you guys should do it.
Yeah. I will. I think so.
When I retire.
Yes.
Long time. I'm not sure if I'm ever going to retire, so I just have to find time.
You and me both.
Yeah. So. Anyway. Hey, we got the movie contest going on, don't
mm-hmm.
we?
Yes.
We're in the second round now.
The Entertain Us contest. Short films by local filmmakers will go head-to-head in the Daily Journal's first Entertain Us movie contest. The submissions are in, and now we need you to determine the winners. Voting will take place daily at djournal.com/entertainus. There will be one head-to-head contest each weekday, and winners will advance in a bracket-style competition. Voting is underway and lasts through March 6th. Watch the videos, choose your favorites, and be entertained.
Yeah, we are in the second round, right, Chris?
Yeah, that's right, second round. So this is all the winners from the first round. Now we had 10 winners from the first round are going head-to-head this week. And
that's
then
awesome.
Semifinals and finals will be next
Ooh.
Week.
Cool. Yeah, y'all go check it out. Some good stuff there.
Yeah, a lot of good videos.
So now we're going to talk about some delicious food. We have food writer Jenna Parsons here with us, and we're going to so this cook of the week is Lynn Chumbly of Belmont.
Yes.
And she made, looks like, some delicious things, like especially the key lime pie or key lime cake, excuse me.
Key lime cake.
Which I think is interesting, because typically it's a pie.
Right, right. She made it with I think it's a box of lemon cake mix and lime jello.
Interesting. Okay.
And then that has a glaze on top of that that kind of seeps into the layers, mm-hmm. and then a cream cheese frosting on top of that. And we didn't get to sample that, although it was very pretty. But she did send me home with a pan of rolls, a dozen of her homemade rolls. And I came in, and my husband, Charlie, said, "What are we going to do with all those rolls?" And about a day and a half later, he said, "We only have three rolls left." So he had made barbecue sandwiches. He had made breakfast sandwiches. He had just noshed on them. She's very good.
Well, and she's like, "Mine was just never as good as my mom's."
But, you know, cooks all the time say that their whatever is never as good as their mother's, mm-hmm. and I think it's probably as good or better. It's just that it's the memory that goes with mom, or the pan that she made it in, that makes it different and special. And if the room's not the same way mom's was, then the rolls aren't going to be the same way that mom's tasted. But she taught school for 32 years. Wow. She did special ed for four, and she taught fourth grade for 28 years.
Wow.
Said she loved that grade.
Oh, that's sweet.
Because they're, you know, they want to learn. They're not smart mouth yet.
Yep, yeah.
They don't talk back. They still like you and respect you. Mm-hmm. It was a great grade.
Wow. Well, and she cooks just about everything, too. I know, like, you got to try some bread, like banana bread, was it?
She made a banana bread, mm-hmm. which y'all all got to taste,
yes.
and the Best Pecan Sandy cookies.
Yes.
Although she didn't share that recipe, even though she's been making that since she won an award for it in 4-H when she was a kid. She did. She gave a recipe for a breakfast dish that looks good that I'm anxious to try.
Yeah. I know quite a few recipes in there. So, and then your recipes here. You've been trying some skillet meals?
Yes, and trying to do some meatless meals, mm-hmm. not just for Lent, but just for health reasons.
Yeah.
So in this recipe, the protein comes from the black beans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got zucchini in it, which sounds kind of weird because it's black beans and tomatoes and brown rice and mm-hmm. zucchini. But zucchini, to me, is kind of like tofu, or like we talked about last week, like tilapia.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of just takes on the flavors of whatever you put with it. So you're getting the vegetable, you're getting the fiber and the good nutrients, but not, you know, you're not really tasting zucchini. You're mm-hmm. tasting the other flavors that are in there.
Ooh. Yeah, what's that kind of seasoned with?
Well, in the original recipe, there was no seasoning other mm-hmm. than onion and bell pepper.
Really?
But I read tons of reviews, and they said add some garlic, add some cumin, add some chili powder and some cayenne to give it some flavor. And then, of course, you put cheese on top of it. And it's not a lot of cheese, but it's just enough to make it ooey-gooey and to make you think it's decadent, even though with brown rice, tomatoes, zucchini,
mm-hmm.
and black beans and some other vegetables, it's a really healthy dish. And one pot, one skillet.
Yeah, that's nice, too.
Yes.
Excellent.
I've been trying. I've tried for a while to eat healthier. Not always successfully, but I went out, Jenna, and bought, I was kind of proud of myself. We were trying to find something for dinner, and I was in charge of dinner the other night, went out and got some veggie burgers that were like, my kids liked them.
Oh, wow.
And I thought they were good, too. I mean, they were these frozen veggie burger patties. I can't remember the brand.
Probably Boca Burgers, maybe.
I got them at Kroger.
Morningstar?
Maybe Morningstar. Yeah, it was Morningstar.
Did you do them on the stove or on the grill?
I'll be honest, we were in a hurry. I did them in the microwave.
Oh, and they were good in the microwave.
Yeah,
well, they would be awesome on the grill.
We don't have a grill, but it probably would have been better to do them in a pan or something.
Right.
Or a skillet, whatever, but yeah, you know, I read that with interest, your column there about, mm-hmm. I mean, because I love meat, but.
Yeah, talking about the Mediterranean diet and trying to eat more fruits and vegetables and whole grains and less dairy and less red meat, which I got to have red meat.
I know.
But, you know, I can say, okay, instead of twice a week. I'll have it every 2 weeks. It's not that I'm right. taking it out of my diet. I'm just not going to eat it as often.
And part of the reason I got the veggie burgers is because now we have a child who's now declared herself a vegetarian.
Our second oldest. Been there, done that.
That makes dinner plans really difficult.
How old is she?
15.
Okay, mine did it at 13.
Yeah, at first she was like, okay, I'm just going to only eat like chicken, and now she's giving up chicken. And so now, you know, like last night we had spaghetti and meatballs, and you know, she just
didn't eat the meatballs.
Yeah, so. Yep. Actually, last night she fell asleep early and missed supper, as I recall. Something else 15-year-olds do is they sleep at weird times.
Well, we were fortunate that Mary did not shun chicken and fish, but she did not eat beef or pork, which made life interesting, especially when I was trying to substitute ground turkey for in the chili and the spaghetti and the tacos. And one night I did beef stroganoff, and I substituted ground turkey, and I said, never again. There is a reason it's called beef stroganoff, and it is not because it's made with ground turkey. So. But she grew out of that, for better or worse.
Yeah.
She still limits her red meat, but she will eat it now.
Well, I'll have to clip that recipe for future consideration.
It's a goodie. It's a keeper.
Well, thank you, Jenna.
Thank y'all.
Okay, that's it for another episode of The Memo. Lauren, thanks again for sitting in.
Thank you.
More than capably, I might add.
Thanks for having me.
Reminder, y'all can follow us on Twitter at DJournalMemo. Send us an email if you want, memo@journalinc.com. And check out all the new sports and entertainment and other stuff that's going on in the region at DJournal.com and on Twitter at DJournalNow. I hope y'all are writing all of this down, by the way. Kind of feel bad machine-gunning all these Twitter handles to people.
So fast.
At Brad Locke, that's me. Lauren, remind me your Twitter handle.
Wood, LAU2.
That's right. Wood, LAU2.
From Michigan State.
Uh-huh. Yep.
That's me. Your old email address, right? Isn't it?
Yep.
Story.
Because I had to get a Twitter for class in 2008. So.
Yeah. So just at Lauren Wood was taken?
No, I just used my, because it was for class, so I just used my MSU email was.
I gotcha.
Michigan State.
I gotcha.
Okay. Email was, yeah.
Yeah, I missed you.
I got on Twitter early enough that Brad Locke has not been taken yet. I was back in 2008.
Wow.
Yeah. So I got lucky.
Props
and Chris
to you.
Chris Kiefer had got on early enough to get at Chris Kiefer.
Yeah.
Two F's. First one silent. Was the second one silent?
So second one is silent.
Okay.
You can hear the first one.
Second F is silent in Kiefer. Okay. It's K I E F silent F E R. Okay. Anyway, so that's it for today. Thank you all for tuning in. We will be back tomorrow, Thursday. I'll be here anyway. I don't know who's going to be in that chair over there.
We'll see.
Might be Derek. Might be Lauren again. Might be Emma. Might be nobody.
Figure it out.
All right. Y'all have a good day.